Hi, everyone. This is Elaine. Welcome to Aging into Joy, also known as Adventures in Aging. Today, I'm going to answer a question that a few of you asked around wearing masks. And some of you wanted to know specifically, what does that mean? And what does that look like or sound like? So in this shorter podcast, I'll attempt to answer your questions. When we wear a mask, it's something that keeps other people from seeing what's going on inside of us. So for instance, let's say I'm really, really angry, but I have trouble expressing my anger. So I put on a smile, okay? That smile is not genuine to us. It's a mask. So what happens? People relate to the smile. Some people might sense that it doesn't seem authentic, that there's something else going on with you, but a lot of people don't. They literally see you smiling and feel like you're okay. Other people can put on the face of anger. And in that moment, that mask is hiding their vulnerability that they don't want anyone to see. So there are four masks that I specifically want to talk about. And you can think about as you're listening if you wear any of these or some of these at different times. And do this as an observer, not as a self-critic. Probably the most common mask is a placating or pleasing others mask. A lot of us learned that coping style growing up to avoid conflict or to avoid getting into difficulty, to avoid being shamed, embarrassed, criticized. So what happens is when we're children or even teens, that's probably kind of brilliant because you're a child, okay? You're very young and you're doing your best to manage whatever the situation is in your home. But at some point we become young adults and we need to ask ourselves, does this style work for me? When I placate, I deny my own needs and perhaps even my own feelings, and I'm totally invested in the outer world, the people around me, their expectations of me, pleasing them, making them happy. We're kind of sometimes desperate for the positive feedback they give us back. You know, you're so sweet. You know, I know I can always go to you. You'll always say yes. Those kinds of things. So if you think about what placating actually does, it pleases the other person and takes the shine of people seeing who you truly are or where you are in any given time in terms of how you're feeling, and it turns it on them. And there's a certain relief internally for those who placate. One of the downsides of placating, well, there's several, but one of them is we are not in the equation. In other words, we are caring for others and not ourselves, certainly not to the degree that we're outer-oriented. Another downside is that I lose connection to myself. I'm so tuned in to other people's needs and wants, I really disconnect from what I need and want. And then I may judge that part of me. You know, I've seen a lot of people tell me that would be selfish. Well, that would be self-care. And we all, as human beings, have needs and wants. And so we need to kind of even the playing field so that if you have a tendency to support others in a way that is pleasing to them, you also want your own pattern of pleasing yourself, meeting your own needs, asking for what you need. But placaters have a lot of anxiety and tend to not reveal the things that they need. But ultimately, they do, if this goes on for a long time, get angry. At some point, they say, nobody asks me how I'm feeling. What do I need? Nobody asks me, how am I doing? Well, that's because it's been a one-way street that we've been walking on for a lot of years. And they've all gotten used to being in the limelight, the light that you cast on them, to avoid them seeing you. So just know that at some point, there is a bit of an awakening going on inside of us that says, wait a minute, and that's okay. If you don't judge that when that happens, you can make a choice to decide to honor yourself. Not at the cost of others, but certainly as much. Honoring yourself as much as you honor other people. So that's one mask. Another mask is, we can call it the bully mask. And it's a mask that, you know, the person shows up kind of tough, angry a lot, judgmental, makes another person feel uneasy. That creates a considerable distance between the other person and themselves. And I always say, when the bully shows up in another person or even yourself, there's something that's being hidden. We're hiding our vulnerability. We're hiding that I really want to cry. I'm hiding that I feel devastated by what I just did or what happened. I cannot accept my vulnerability. And so I turn it around and I go into blame, and I blame everybody else. And when I do that, I relieve myself of the responsibility to heal myself, because from where I'm sitting, I don't have any problems. This is all your fault. And that's really hard, because other people don't know what to do with that and may either become fearful of you or confused. Either way, you feel safer, but guess what? Over time, you feel lonely, because you're not making connections, you're disconnecting, you're pushing people away. And so feeling safe by blaming others comes at a high cost to you and your connectedness. And as human beings, we have a deep, deep need for belonging. It's one of Maslow's needs on his hierarchy of needs. So that's the blamer or the bully. The next one is the clown. I'll just say the clown mask. And for that mask, that person has a great sense of humor and can be very, very entertaining. And so when things get tense, let's say in a meeting or a class or at work, this person can come up with just the right joke or phrase to crack people up. And then that tension is relieved. And it's kind of, okay, that was a close call. They almost saw what I was really feeling and thinking. They almost saw my fear, or they almost saw how afraid, you know, we are or I am of conflict. Usually fear induces the humor. And so what a softer way could there be than to introduce humor when things get tense, anxious, stressful? Now, a nice dose of humor is a wonderful way to cope. But I'm talking about the person who does jokes and humor constantly to the point where you kind of don't think anything is funny that this person says anymore. In fact, it keeps you from working together. It's distracting. You can't feel any commitment from this person because everything is funny. And so it's taken to an extreme. And so this person, generally speaking, has very similar fears as the placator or the blamer bully. They fear being seen. They fear their vulnerability being noticed. They fear criticism. They fear not being good enough. They fear not being important enough, and on and on. So this is a mask. If we take this mask off, then we're kind of faced with looking, it's like looking in the mirror into our own eyes, and there's no distractions. There's no way to avoid seeing our true self. But when we do see our true self, we want to love that self, okay? We want to love that self. And the fear in us prevents us from realizing that insight because we're so busy either avoiding, withdrawing, blaming, rescuing, placating, or isolating. So, having mentioned the word rescuing, that's another mask. So when I work with people, I notice the people who are helpers, and that's genuine to their beingness. But again, taken to an extreme, they're always there for other people, and they're there so much for other people that others develop a dependency on them and may even begin to believe after time that if not for them, I couldn't do anything, which is very disempowering. So you need to ask yourself, are you a rescuer? Does it bring you great pleasure and fulfillment to help somebody, not just to a certain degree, but constantly? Because that ultimately will lead to a codependent relationship. And we never want to be in a relationship where any behavior, any communication suggests that I can't take care of myself. I can't make choices for myself. I need you. So a certain degree of dependency, again, is natural. So is a certain degree of independence. Together, they form a wonderful state called interdependence, okay? I can do both. But I do have a sense of myself when I'm in an interdependent relationship. So those are the primary masks we wear, and there can be others, but whatever you want to call them or name them as will usually tuck under one of these four. And we develop these masks as a style of keeping ourselves safe, a coping style, when we were very young. And now it's time for us to say, is this working for me? What's it costing me? I want to connect with myself, and I can't seem to do it as long as I'm wearing this mask. So as I continue the podcast, we'll take a look at how to take the mask off and be comfortable with yourself, which involves a good degree of self-love and a letting go of all the messages you heard from other people who ended up defining you, whether they meant to do that or not. And in many cases, they did not mean to do that. But that's what happened. Okay? So we'll look at patterns that emerge from these four coping styles, these four masks, in the next podcast. And I thank you for sending the questions in. I hope this is helpful. Have a great day. Have a good weekend. Hope you're enjoying your autumn. Talk to you soon. Bye.